Welcome to Outrageous. He's brought a friend along today. I prefer the friend. What's he called?
He's called Bring Me a Beer Now.
Yes. Well, there's no beer on there.
Yeah, he's well, not because, aren't we? Yeah. But it's one of the best robots I've ever had. It's incredible. I'm just going to move my camera a little bit so you can see his whole little charming body and my cup of coffee, which I'm now going to move.
Well, anyway, what does the yes mean on top of that cup of coffee? I got a quick glimpse of a yes.
It's just three yeses.
Oh, well, that's all right.
It just
right,
says yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Like that. Posh cup, you don't get many.
No, listen, this is the future. This programme shows you the future. Lady housewife, forget it. You'll have a robot to do the whole thing.
And that's right. Artificial intelligence. This is actually one of the best artificial intelligence robots ever made. It's from, it's from the 90s. And it's beautiful. Just walked. Unfortunately, I haven't got any batteries for it because you need those really big batteries like that. But it all flashes up, it moves its arms. And the beauty is you send it to the fridge, right? Send it to the fridge, shout like that, stick a beer in me robot, duck. And your wife puts a beer in it and he brings it back to you in there.
Well, I'm impressed, but I'm more impressed by the technology because come the day when they try and take over, there's lots of robots now that try to take over this world. But when the artificial ones, then you can always pull the battery out, in theory.
In theory, but that's not... I'll tell you what, we've done not much on artificial intelligence over the months and years. And it really is a big, scary thing for this world. That we are now, you know, we're having robots. This has no empathy. This is purely a big boy's toy. The artificial intelligence that we're now offering is about, the artificial intelligence has been given empathy. It's been given the ability to assimilate. It deals with you. You don't deal with human beings now. You deal with artificial intelligence. You might only want to phone your bank. You might want to phone your power company. You might want to phone Tesco's. Or any other suit, you will deal with a robot first. How can robots be the gateway for one human being to get to another human being? It is disgusting. It's fun. The rest of it isn't.
Well, I'm going to give you a date now, and the world is going to change course completely. And it's the 23rd of April, and unless I'm wrong, it's St. George's Day. Very significant for the United Kingdom. Well, no, for England specifically. Although we're not very good on anniversaries, we don't fly the flag like other nations. It's time we did. Mind you, if you look at the George Cross, which is the English flag, it's blooming boring compared with many others.
It is.
If you compare the Welsh, and they usually get things wrong. No, I tease people. I'm teasing now. But they've got a big dragon on there. I mean, at least it's interesting.
Well, you think about it, all the pubs in Britain are called the Georgian Dragon. So therefore, you've got to know what we're going to do. It's dead simple, Georgian Dragon.
That's it, yes. Send me the lady wife out to serve me a beer. I know all about that one. Anyway, listen, what's happening on the 23rd? Well, there's going to be a big experiment. And if you've got a mobile phone, which cuts all the grannies out, and that's significant what I've just said then, you're going to be sent a test warning by Her Majesty's government, because now all your iPhones very shortly and Android phones and any other phone you may use is going to give the government leeway to get into your brain. And if they think there's going to be a flood down at the end of your road, you get a beep. And I've heard this beep. It's horrible. And you're going to get warned for your own safety. Lee, it's a trap. Chairman Mao had this years ago, and he can trace you. You'll be able to be traced. Whatever they tell you, you will be. And how bad it is, of course, is you cannot use your phone once you've been beeped, because the government stopped you using your own phone until you've responded that you've heard the beep. Yeah. Lee, 1984, has been well left behind with more than one reason.
Well, artificial intelligence, yeah, and this thing is terrible. I want to put you personally now in a newsroom situation, right? You be editor, I'll be news editor, and let's see where we go with this because we have a very sensitive story about this subject, which, as a tabloid journalist, I could be accused of being hysterical, blowing something out of proportion. But this very thing that you're talking about, this warning, right, came out yesterday, just passed on. I just saw it passed generally. There's a bit on the government website about it. And the situation is this. If we have a forest fire in Britain, if a forest goes up in flames, then we will get a warning, right? The whole country apparently will get a warning. There's a forest fire in Crumpsall in Manchester. And then everybody will have to flee, right? You didn't flee when you had a forest fire behind your house in Marbella. You don't do it, you see. And we don't have forest fires that often in Britain. Now, 335 people, forgive me if those figures are wrong because I'm not very good at figures, remembering figures as you know, but I say that is more or less right. 335 people have died in fires, not forest fires, any fire in Britain over the last decade. Now, the other thing it's going to warn you about is floods. Floods. Yeah, that's fine. Do you know, in the last 10 years, there have been only a handful of people who've died in a flood in Britain. Now, if you take my, and this is you, I am putting this to you as news editor. I believe that from experience, from past experience and working on these kind of things, that this story is a very gentle way of slipping into society. A way of being prepared for nuclear war with what's happening in the Ukraine, what Russia's doing. It's today, it's the day we're doing this show. It's attacked two more flight vehicles, flight vessels from America. It's blown one out of the sky. China's moving in, saying how wonderful Mr. Putin is. He only lives across the stream for us. And he's flown there. He's pretending to be a peace envoy. Well, why do you need a peace envoy if you're not actually reaching frightening proportions? This warning, I say, as a tabloid journalist, is something we have to look at very carefully, because in 1979, in the early 80s. When such as oh, I'm missing again. And when Margaret Thatcher and we were facing the Cold War, everything, Margaret Thatcher came up with this thing called Protect and Survive. Now, I was working on the Sunday People and the Daily Mirror, they're part of the same group, and I worked for months solely on Protect and Survive. And basically, what this document, this government document said, little booklet, was if a bomb drops, if all of a sudden everything explodes and you're in your car, jump out, get under your car. If there's a ditch, jump in the ditch. If you're at home with your family, get under your kitchen table. Now, fine. That was how you're supposed to survive a nuclear war. The thing is, today, there is not, our government in almost 50 years has not moved on from that. That's what you've got to do if you get in a nuclear war. And now they're sending out warnings there, for everybody in the country to say, oh, we've had a flood down Deansgate. Oh, we've got a forest fire in Disley. Yeah, right.
Well, I've got to step in now, of course, as news editor.
I'm news editor, your editor.
I've been demoted. Well, as his safeguard against the general public who need defending, of course, I've got to sort of slow him down and say, well, let's consider this.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm going to take the opposite view. I don't think he's gone far enough. He's going on about nuclear war there. I've got something way ahead of that to be feared, and that
Go on,
is
then.
total control.
Yeah.
And that's
Yeah.
what we're really talking about. And it's awful. I did mention in passing Chairman Mao and his lot. It is much more serious than that. It's the thin end of the proverbial wedge. We have had many events in the last few decades that people have actually said that, oh, we can't. Abortion, I will mention. David Steele. He produced a very, very, can I say, even inverted commas, a sensible bill. And everybody said, oh, that's all right. And then other people say, no, it's not. It's the thin end of the wedge. Everybody's going to have abortion to birth before long. Rubbish. It will never happen. It's happened. And even worse than that, it's happened beyond birth. And once the baby's been born, yes, call it what you like, very early euthanasia, the child has been got rid of. Now, nobody thought that could ever happen. Well, on the same vein, it will happen with what we're talking about. Now, how can you stretch things so far? Well, power is everything, whether it's political power, Putin power, with Chairman Mao power. Then you've got to watch the power thing. There are lots of people out there that are not very nice. So how do we defend ourselves, Lee, from this possibility, even probability?
So, well, how do we defend ourselves against, when you think, who are the most, who are the three, no, let's say the two most charismatic politicians that we could get into, Boris Johnson and Donald Trump. I don't agree with either of the views. I would not defend either of them in any to any great extent, particularly the orange one. However, I admit and say quite openly that he is very charismatic. He's a bit thuggish, a bit manly, a bit over the top, a bit everything. But he has a charisma. So does Boris Johnson. Putin doesn't really, although he's Mr. Macho, doesn't really have a great charisma. But he's mysterious, he's vicious, he's protected, he's everything. How do we defend ourselves against that kind of thing? Now, it can really go back to artificial intelligence, where all this started. We started to lose control of the world the day we decided to go on Facebook and give all our information so we could chat with somebody in Venezuela who we didn't know but quite fancied. Or we could go on Facebook or Twitter and pretend that we got freedom of speech and we could call people paedophiles because they were having the 60th birthday or whatever. That's the way society went. And suddenly all this bizarre, retrograde mental way of being started to take over, and we started to look at celebrity within the minimal places you can find, and that's where our society got a great change. The pandemic made a big change. The crash, Brexit made a big change for us and a lot for Europe. And now we have this reset that everybody denied of our world. Our world has been reset, and it's opened the doors to thugs, racists, all sorts of despicable people. And that's what you see, because despicable people are more likely to get on their soapbox on social media and change the minds of people who are not really concentrated, just pressing like, thinking, oh, that's in like. Yeah, it's a crazy, crazy world and very dangerous now. And our government should be doing something more than Maggie Thatcher did to protect us in the event. 10 million of us are likely to die if one bomb from Russia hits Britain. Three people died in fires. 335, whatever those figures are, I've forgot again.
Well, there's some well, I like stats, as everybody knows, but the other stat to confront this talented man is the fact that in that same period, 1,300 people died of constipation. So let's get it in proportion. No.
Well, I'm a bit stuck on that,
Yes.
aren't I?
But there again, you make your own news headlines, don't you? What's going to sell the next paper? Listen,
It's interesting. I am trying now to evaluate that news. If I was on the Daily Star, where I worked for a long time, I would say that in the news conference, I was going to say that had come out. But it's it is a story. It is a story that I would consider, not from the Sun, not from the Daily Mail, not for anybody else. I think that's a really good. Yeah, right. Okay, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, but it's yeah, okay. We've got to move on from those moving thoughts and well, listen, we're going to mention
I
from the
know, we'll have to
sublime to
sit
the
down.
ridiculous. We're going to mention a lot of food on this program today,
Food.
and the first bit of food is we've changed. It all used to be fat's bad for you, and then somebody said, "Well, there's two kinds of fats. One's better than another, and it's not as bad as we thought." And then some old lady, bless her, said, "We used to have dripping butties with sugar on." I can't think of anything worse, but it's true. Sugar butties. You had bread, a bit of butter and sugar, and if you didn't like that, you had dripping. I mean, if that didn't kill you, what did? But they've discovered now a certain amount of dripping is actually good for you. So you don't know, but I've mentioned sugar. This is the common denominator. Everybody now agrees at the moment, until they change their mind, that sugar is not very good for you at all. We're consuming far too much of it. Even, it, believe it or not, in our fruits. Some fruits are better than others. And you think, well, what should I be eating fruit-wise? Because fructose is there, sugar's there, and sugar's bad for you. Well, there are very complicated reasons why fruit is actually better than let's say refined sugar, the white stuff that's been bleached and passed through dozens of machines. That is bad for you. And I think that is a universal declaration that most people would agree. But there are certain fruits that if you eat too much are not good for you. But I'll give you a hint, the top seven or eight fruits. And you've got to include what benefits they give you. Strawberries, actually, are number one. They're brilliant. But there again, you've got to be careful because strawberries are delicate things and they've got to be treated. And some people over-treat them by putting nasty powder on them to make them last longer, look better, or to kill the grub that's trying to bore its little head in the strawberry. So, organic, I mean, strawberries are blooming expensive, even in Spain now because of the bad winter and various other things. But if you go for organic strawberries, you're not guaranteed to get a better strawberry. Stand more chance, but you'll be paying double. So you've got to bear that in mind. But there's certain hidden secrets in all this. Raspberries are very much cheaper, and they contain very small amount of sugar, only 2 grams
Right.
per 100, surprisingly.
Yeah, I
And
didn't
they're
know
very
that.
sweet. The best one, actually, which is the similar, is avocado. That's not fruit. It is actually, and it's so good for you with other benefits because it's a fatty fruit, most unusual beast, but it is very, very good for reducing your levels of good and LDL and whatever they want to make you eat and avoid. Fruits, but be careful. There are lists, and you'll find them on the internet, which are the best fruits. Tangerines, for some reason, contain an awful lot of sugar. Oranges contain a bit less. Grapefruit contains very little sugar. But of course, most people can't eat grapefruit without putting sugar on, so you can't win, can you?
Good point. You see, I like fruit. I do consume a fair amount of fruit. I have to say, in Portugal, Spain, and Slovakia, fruit was fabulous. A bit rotten in places. You accepted that you got rotten a bit of rotten fruit with your fruit because it was fresh. It was straight off the trees or straight out of the fields or wherever you get fruit from, apart from a supermarket. And but in Britain, generally, the fruit is tasteless. It's got nothing going for it at all, other than the fact it's very expensive. And It's a bit pointless. It's a bit pointless, but it is worrying. What do you actually do? I like sweets. I've always liked sweets since I was a child. I can't use sweeteners because they kill you. You can't use fruit because it makes you fat, and if you've got diabetes, it can be a problem. What else can you can't eat? Sweets. You can't eat cake. What can you do for
Well, yeah,
sweets?
I quickly intervened. There are certain now sweeteners that you're okay with.
Right.
The famous stevia has got lots of ticks against it, and it
Yeah.
used to be a big disadvantage because stevia is made from a leaf of a plant. That's all.
All
No
right,
added
okay.
nasties unless you buy the cheaper variety. It's about seven times more sweet than sugar, so you don't put a teaspoon of stevia in a cup of coffee, it'll blow your head off. You just put a few grains, as it were. The big disadvantage with stevia in the past was it left, even though it's a sweetener, a bit of taste in your mouth, which,
Right, yeah.
put people off. They've managed to get that out the way, and it is really good. So if you like your porridge in the morning, put a small teaspoon of stevia in, and you don't need the nasty ones. Some people have gone to honey, but honey is awfully sweet, but it does contain very good nutrients. But I've not got any shares in the stevia factory, but that is a hint to your sweet tooth without it giving
Interesting.
you any calories at all.
That's very interesting. I'll have to get the name of it off you after. But yeah, it's easy. So it's a worrying world. Like, I used to enjoy drinking, and the amount of sugar in alcohol is absolutely petrifying. Now, it's a funny thing. Since I more or less, I basically don't drink. It was my birthday a couple of days ago, so I had a couple of beers. That's it. I think I had 3 pints. Whereas in the past, it would have been a party for 3 days. And it had no effect on me. But I have to say, isn't it funny how much more energetic I feel by not having the sugar intake that I used to have? Yeah. It's a funny thing. And I think it's generally because you feel better. You feel better in yourself. And so you're more energetic, more enthusiastic. But yeah, sugar's a frightening thing because it's in everything. It's in baked beans, it's in everything.
Yeah, and if you get too used to it, of course, baked beans is a good example. If you go to baked beans that have not got loads of sugar in, it tastes horrible because you've
I
got
don't mind
accustomed
them.
to your sugar. Oh, there you go.
No, I
Well, you
don't
can.
actually personally mind them. I know what you mean. The taste is different, and the sauce isn't as. But yeah, baked beans. Yeah, baked beans is good for you.
Traditional British diet. Listen, talking about baked beans and nasty events. We've been going on at the Wicked Witch of the North, haven't we, for donkey's years?
Oh, we
And
have.
have we been proved right? Things that are coming out now, and let me say to our viewer, a lot more to come out. Like Jacinta, the Wicked Witch of the South. She's jumped ship just in time. Of course, Nicola and her beloved have done exactly the same thing. One of the things that's coming out, you've been telling lies the whole time through about how many people want to go independent in Scotland. It's now come down to 35% now the truth has come out. And why did you lie for so many years that your party membership was increasing when it was decreasing drastically? Lee, the lies come out, it bites your bum eventually, doesn't it?
It's the kind of thing that destroys your faith. And having just had my 38th birthday, I'm in a
What?
position. My 38th
Oh,
birthday.
that's all right, yes.
Yes.
We're carrying on the lying theme. Yes, carry on.
What did he just say? What did he just say? I'm 39. I'm gorgeous. Anyway, yeah. So we are in a position where we are surrounded by lies. The whole world is surrounded by lies, and politicians are the worst people there are. Now, it's funny, there are honest politicians. Having worked with politicians all my life, day on a daily basis, I've had to be involved with politicians. I know when you meet a good one. The problem is, the good ones generally don't get to be that well known and don't end up using what you have ambition. If ambition is clean and straightforward, then it is a good thing. It can be good for you, good for your family, good for the community, good for everything. If your ambition becomes slightly narcissistic, which a lot of ambitious people do lead in that way, then you become a politician. And the politicians, the attitude to truth is outrageous. And if you work your way through the way our society is working, propaganda, the whole of the internet filled with factless lies about everything, because nobody bothers to check. Oh, we can't bother to check, says the internet. So that we are being twisted. Now, for politicians to lie to us, we actually need, and this is going to be very controversial, everybody be really angry with me, we need a new political system, not just in Britain, across the world. Look at our politicians. Putin destroying, potentially destroying the world. Whatever the Chinese bloke's called, potentially going to destroy the world. Trump being arrested for all sorts of things, potentially being arrested. Blair caused the world war of terrorism. Peace envoy. Just, it's endless. It goes on. But Boris, obviously. It's endless. We are being misled and we are allowing it to happen. The only people who can fight this are people like you and me. Believe me, everybody out there, journalists are the way you will be protected against these people. You might not like us. I don't really care if you like us. We will fight the bent, the twisted, and the liars.
Well, I agree with him, hate agreeing with him, but he's right. I mean, I would not say all journalists. I would say the majority are good people
Yeah,
and
there
they
are
do
bad
protect
journalists.
us, but you always get baddies anywhere.
Of course you do,
Talking
yeah.
about baddies, talking about Nicola, what choice have you got? Well, you've got three at the moment. One strange lady that speaks her mind, Christian lady, wants to get back to old values.
Yeah.
Another lady as well that is a sort of sitting on the fence. Mr. Yusuf doesn't sit on a fence at all. In the real world, he pretends to, but he's got absolute contacts with all the worst that the Middle East can offer at the highest level. How on earth has he got to be a front runner for the SNPs in Scotland? Or is he a front runner? That's what we're told, but use the word allegedly. And where is the truth on the figures he's quoting? I think it would be appalling if he got elected. Just as appalling, stick me head on the chopping block when Sadiq Khan got elected. And he's going to be shortly called before various panels in Parliament to back up what he's done. He won't be able to, in my humble opinion. But look at the people involved in all these miscreant, nefarious dealings, and they've all got history. As we speak, Lee, Boris is trying to convince Parliament that he's a goodie, and all his mates are.
Yeah,
It's bizarre.
I know, and you've got Trump saying I'll be arrested today. It's disgusting. Well, maybe you shouldn't have paid this woman off. Maybe you shouldn't have
He's
given.
not going to get arrested. It's all rubbish, that. I will guarantee that
I don't think
personally.
he'll be arrested. I think he'll be indicted. I think he'll be indicted. I think the world deserves for Trump to be indicted, and Trump deserves the right to be indicted. So if he is innocent, he can prove he's innocent.
Well, that's a way of looking backwards, forwards, isn't it? But there you go. Listen, I'm going to talk about going bus now. Because we've had, well, the great year, of course, years actually, 2008 onwards, of banks going bust, being just about the last minute rescued. It's happened again, of course, with Credit Suisse. And we've known Credit Suisse for quite a long time, actually. And they've been doing lots of good things, and they've been doing lots of bad things. There they are, hiding at the top of a Swiss mountain and doing deals, sometimes with not very nice people, but all banks do that. And again, it's a boring phrase, but eventually it will catch up with you, ladies and gentlemen. And people want to know why regular banks, I say regular, that was in the Spanish phrase sense, normal banking and honest banking, why are they always going bump? Well, it's very simple. They don't obey the rules. You look at the laymans of this world, all the banks that have got, they don't obey. They suspend the rules, maybe for 6 months, maybe for 2 or 3 years, but they don't obey the rules. And it catches up with them, Lee, and it's happened again with Credit Suisse. Now, they can't let that go. I think it's, well, of the top 17 banks in the world, it's in that lot. You're talking a biggie here. You don't mess around with secondary banks like we've had in America, causing havoc. That's just been the tip of the iceberg. And it's tipped the balances in the, it doesn't take much when the balances are balancing in the wrong direction. So how do you, listen, Lee, all we've been talking about when you analyze it is dishonesty, isn't it? The
Yeah,
whole
entirely.
program is talking about dishonesty.
Yeah. Well, this is it. The truth is something that really matters to this world. The truth is really the only way forward. And what we have are organizations, bosses, rich people, well-off people, influencers, and everybody who seem to think the truth is an agenda which can be focused on specific ideals and ways ahead. This isn't truth. This is an opinion of the truth. We need to get back to basic truth. Now, I'm not extolling the virtues of religion, because to be honest, religion is so dishonest. There is a, in the Bible itself, it is a history book written by hundreds of people. Therefore, the truth in the Bible is in doubt. If you have an experience of God which has changed your life, then that's a different thing. And there maybe lies the truth. But beyond that personal experience and the determination to be honest, how do we get to the truth when everything around us is totally dishonest and the people that we vote into power? We voted in. What about the Metropolitan Police? We can't ignore that. What has happened? They are there just like politicians to protect us. How are they protecting us by now officially, this is the Met, obviously. The Met is now officially racist, homophobic, and just a
Misogynist, that's what he's looking for.
well, I was trying to think. I want to talk about misogynism. I am a man. I'm very proud of being a man. I hope I'm a manly man, and I want to defend manly men, just as you have womanly women. Let's have manly men and womanly women back on the agenda instead of it being a bitch. Ah, well, I've got long hair. That doesn't mean I'm a girl. Doesn't mean that a woman who's got short hair is a man. We are different entities and we have a focus on this world. We should be an honest way forward, man and woman. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, it's the perfect combination, isn't it? It was designed that way. Let's keep up with it. But there are certain people, certain emasculated people. Harry, are you listening? That are not doing himself any good. And certainly the missus is in charge there, absolutely wearing the pants. Now, they're into all sorts of things. And one of the things, I mean, we've had problems with outrageous sex education in our schools, which is just at last being got hold of. People are realizing what really goes on. There's a big pushback there. Great. But Harry and Meghan are the prime example of ultra woke. They want also gender fluidity on steroids in our school. And even little ones are being taught that, well, you might have a penis or you might have a vagina, but you can change your mind. This is appalling, and she's into all sorts of mischief. They want to ruin the royal family. Everybody realizes that with half a brain, dare one say. Now they've turned on the real family and they want these woke ideas coming up, and they're starting putting them in American, especially Californian, say no more, and British schools. Bonley, let's have your comments on that one.
Well, yeah, start with Harry and Meghan. I'm taken to task all the time over my views on Harry and Meghan. I think they're despicable. I think they're shameful. They again. I hold my. I'm going to be very careful, Rodney, because this is the sort of thing that they sue for. I choose my words correctly or carefully, that they are not always au fait with honesty. And for people who have faced a family tragedy and have got over it, and so the other members of their family, to then pillory their family in public is disgusting. It's absolutely shameful. But then to still want the benefits of being a royal and to condemn the press and then use the press to make themselves money, despicable, despicable people. People, so not people bubble, people, right? And now for them to move, you see, we've done drugs with him. I've not done drugs with him, I'm sure you haven't, but the world has done drugs with him. He said, I love whatever it was he was taking. He's admitted to cannabis, he's admitted to other drugs, one drug I've never even heard of. Now he says it can help your mental health. Which is fine, yeah. Drugs that's has there to be a difference between medical drugs and natural drugs in these cases? Don't know, but I don't think it's his job to expel the virtues of it. He's admitted that he's a killer, and he didn't really care. Yeah, in his military days, he admitted a few weeks ago about how 11 people, I think he claimed to, he thinks he's got rid of. Now, those people really, surely, like, need taking a look at. Surely, it is beyond now them being royals and being on the Oprah Winfrey show. It is now about the moral standing of the most powerful family in Britain today and the way they are treated. Even Andrew's managing to shuffle his way back in. Yeah, if they allow Andrew and Meghan and Harry to continue in any kind of royal position, then they will give a lot of the public what they want, which is get rid of them. And
Right,
I
question for you. Qu question for you. If social media didn't exist, so I'm going back pre-internet, would we be in the state that we are now? Reference Harry and Meghan, would they have got anywhere, Lee?
no, because the main thing you've got to look at with Meghan and Harry is this. They believe they know. This is the narcissistic. Sorry, I wonder if you can sue for calling somebody a narcissist. I don't think you can. Narcissistic point of view about me, the media. Now, in the there is a technique which is very tried very often where you allow people to hang themselves. And basically, what after the Daily Mail was sued by Harry and Meghan, they were allowed to hang themselves, and they've done a brilliant job of it. They couldn't really have done anything better. They've destroyed themselves, and the press allowed them to do it publicly, in on a daily basis, and destroy their own reputations as well as destroying all the people they wanted to destroy. Now, if social media wasn't around, then quite feasibly, we would have looked at them in a totally different light. They would not have been able to attack in this erratic way that they have, and They possibly, quite possibly, well, actually, definitely would have a totally different set of views, because a lot of the views that they are extolling are the views of the Twitterati and the Facebook, whatever you would like to put word in there, and all the other social media. These are the views of extremists and people who've not really work things out, and they're extolling. So no, they wouldn't make it in the way that they have done now.
Well, let's take an akin subject and about honesty. And it's all right saying it's a truth, and there's lots of truth within a lie. You can have a 90% lie and put 10% of truth in there to wash it clean, and you get away with it on a bad day. And I've been perturbed recently by all the strikes. Public sector, the private sector can't afford to go on. They've taken advantage of the situation. I am disgusted with the public sector completely. And however you look at it, the RMT union are a pseudo public sector, and they've got what they've demanded. And I object to that. I object to some of the media also climbing on board for whatever reason. And bless them, even our favourites, inverted commas, GB News at times, has fallen into this trap. I want the whole truth. When I look at the media report, let's take Mad Mick of RMT, and he comes on there and quotes figures of how poor his train drivers are when they're paid more than airline pilots. It's a joke. Tie it down even further. Let's go to the doctors. I'm disgusted with the doctors, even more disgusted with the BMA, because the BMA come out and give us lies. And they say, oh, they're university between 5 and 7 years. Then they start the real job in hospital and they're only paid £29,000 a year. That's a lie. And you can verify that by getting into gov.uk. All the nurses' pay rates and the doctors and any other public servants are there. Let me tell you now that it is impossible to earn £29,000 a year in your first year of doctoring. You're going to be earning nearer 50,000, because there's lots of hidden things that they get paid for, extra shifts and things they have to do. It's a very clever and subtle way of getting a pay rise, and they've had it. And the average doctor is above 40,000 anyway, not 29,000, and then they go up and up and up. Now, for me, what's the danger? Well, the danger is when you've listened to Mick or whichever trade union leader after a news report, I say, well, hang on, can we please hear the other side of the story, which happens to be the truth? Where's the employer saying, hey, up, you're not paid that much, you're paid this much? Well, there isn't any balance, Lee. All you hear is the bad news.
It's not right. It just isn't right. Again, it's something. When's the last time you read a newspaper?
Oh, well, I read them every blooming day of the week. I get them
Every news
off.
you read a newspaper every day.
Absolutely, I'm several from all sides. I mean, I
You
get it through
are.
computer rather than handling the paper.
Well, yeah, it's a different thing. The internet newspapers are a different thing. The daily newspapers, really. The internet is a very big seller for newspapers now. It's a very big marketplace.
Yeah. They
But
were in Spain, mate. We wouldn't get the actual thing in your hand till the following day, could
exactly,
we?
exactly. Yeah, and where we live in the middle of nowhere, it's like a 15-mile round trip. But yeah, you see, this is how news happens. It's not. I'm not doing any great revelation. I mean, it's not any great mystery. Dead simple. There is something happening. Nurses are going on strike. Doctors are going, railway men, everybody's going, lawyers. Now, what happens is that the first place you go is the people who are going on strike. Now, individuals don't necessarily want to talk unless they've got an agenda. So what you tend to do is go to the union, the mad mix or whatever you want to call it. I didn't call him a mad mix. And I didn't say mad mix at all. He's yeah, but he, you go to your mad mix. And then you ask, they tell you their side of the story. Now, you're a businessman, the same as I am. If you then go to the employer and say, look, what's the score here? This is what they're saying. They will always come out with basically a very straightforward statement saying that we are currently negotiating. We have nothing else to say, blah. Nothing else you can report. Nothing else you can report on that. That's what your protagonist said, and that's what the other person said. That's all you can report. Now, within the midst of that is back what are called backgrounders, features, opinions, and all those are contained within this bizarre thing called this bizarre, archaic, out-of-date thing called newspapers. And within that information, within that column, say the feature or the backgrounder, that's where you'll find that information. Now, don't be misled. Don't be misled. You can look it up as well. Not you as a royal you. And the people out there can look it up as well. They can find out. They can do it. It's there. But remember, and this is where the twist is, the bulk of the information on the internet has been stolen from proper journalists. So the information you're getting on the internet that you believe, right, is actually coming from people like me. So we are right, and that's the way it works.
Well, yeah, well, that's bizarre, isn't it? But I mean, I want the truth, the whole truth, and I want even-handed truth, and we don't get it. But I tell you what, is you've mentioned this before, but we've got to go to it before we go. Times is going rapidly, Mr. Putin. Now, allegedly, it's not Mr. Putin visiting the Ukraine; it's his doppelganger, his lookalike. Call him what you like, but it's not him. And I've got an interesting picture to show the viewer. Here it is. Well, it's all in the chin.
It is.
Well, I mean, there are three pictures there, and if you look at the chin, they are different. Now, of course, when the war started 12 months ago now, Putin was dying. He's had an antler horns crushed, and he's drinking this stuff to keep him
Yeah,
alive.
keep him
And
poorly.
look at his face, he's on steroids or whatever. But how many Putins are there? Is he just sending them to China, the Ukraine? But the chin is a bit dodgy there, isn't it, Lee?
It is. There are, I think currently there are, I can't remember. Again, forgive me for figures. I need a board there. I need to write the figures on. I am sure there are in the region of 200 different Mr. Putins. And each one is very well paid, looked after, and appears when Mr. Putin is not well enough or is unable to attend because of all the commitments, or he's just a bit worried because he's going to be arrested for stealing children. Right? Now, if they arrest a lookalike, there's nothing he can do. There isn't anything new, though, in what Putin does. We've plenty of talk over the last few years about the orange ones, doubles, body doubles. All politicians, all even business people, big business people have body doubles, just like actors do. It's like there's nothing fresh. But again, it's the dishonesty of the politician who goes to war and then says, well, I'm not going out on the streets, I might get blown up. I'll send somebody who looks like me. It's terrible. It's disgusting. It's shameful.
Well, there you go. And yes, again, the viewer will make up his mind. We've got to go, Lee. And
Okay.
we've got to go on. I promised the viewer here he should get a looking diet and sugar. And we're going to concentrate on another health goodie now. It's called pies. And
Eyes.
pies,
Pies.
pies. Oh, there you go, you see. What is he got? Yes. He bring anything on. Is that a shock tactic? Pies or spies from, yeah, that's the
Bye.
link. Spies to pies from Mr. Putin. Well, look, you've got us. The banoffee pie has come top in the top 10 of all pies consumed in Britain as being the favourite. And of course,
Totally
banoffee pie
bananas.
is a sort of complex banana sweet, sweet. And it's come ahead of the
Don't
steak and ale pie, even. That's the
like
proper.
steak and ale pie. You can't have
Why?
beer in your pie. You have it separate from your pie. You have it sitting next to your pie. That's ridiculous.
Oh, well, no, he's quite wrong there. I mean, you're cooking red wine as an example because it gives it a
No, you
real.
drink it and then do your
Well,
cooking.
you do both that, that's true. But I mean, when you've got shepherd's pie coming in third,
Not many shepherds about now.
no, they're, well, not surprised, they're all in the pies. And pasties come in seventh. But pies are very personal.
They
And quite frankly, you've got to pay for a decent one, Lee, because otherwise, all you're getting in there is potato in a meat and potato pie. I mean, they should be sued. There's no meat in a meat and potato pie, the average one these days. You might
No.
find it with a with Jodrell Bank, perhaps, but you're not going to find it any other way. I mean, apple pie, people are saying, well, yeah, that's traditional, but it should not be anywhere near a meat-based pie. And this is we've gone soft as a nation. We've got a sweet tooth. We can't face a manly pie.
No, exactly. He said, you know, I am a great exponent of the virtues of pies, like I am of kebabs and curries. I just like manly food. And the one thing I really like is a meat and potato pie. And you, like you say, you can't get them. Now, when you do get them, I like the fact they've got no meat in them because I'm a vegetarian. But it is meat and potato pies. They're strange. Who really wants to eat grey mush with a little bit of gristle in it, and a pie that's been burnt around the top? I do. I do. I love it. Last night, just last night, we'd been out for a curry on the Sunday. Very good curry house in Birmingham. Very expensive, but very good. And yesterday, I had a bit of a curry tummy, if you get my meaning. And we sent out for fish and chips, or he was going out for fish and chips for us. And I had to phone him up and say, "Listen, mate, don't get me fish and chips. My stomach's really hurting." And I said, "What? Get me a couple of cheese and onion pies for later on. I'll probably be all right." Now, I didn't expect what I got. I got pies that were that thick, that big, like that, beautiful, and jam-packed with cheese and onion. I don't know the make because they'd taken the wrapper off when it got here, but it is the only fish and chip shop in Eccleshill that I know, or the only fish and chip in where I live in the Midlands that does real proper cheese and onion pies. He also does quite good meat and potato pies, but his pasties are brilliant. There are little enclaves of old-fashioned good food places like yours, I'm sure, that sell good quality food, and that's often in a pie. Yeah, pies. I love pies.
He's got the face on working this time, so that's a bit better. It yes, I only could see the red devil before, so there you go. Well, listen, before we go, we have to say that you can't beat a good pie if you make it yourself. Now, I'm under severe dietary restrictions at the moment, and I've been banned from anything gluten. In other words, if it's made out of wheat, it's bad for you, causes inflammation. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so we obey the laws and the medics, and they seem to know what they're doing because the old regime seems to be working, but you lust, and it is a lust. after a decent pie. You can't get it because all the crust is made out of. But there's a way around it. And I have to give credit to the Daily Mail, who brought this story about pies out. There's a clever way of doing it. There you are. Tip for the homemade chef. You can quite easily these days get gluten-free spaghetti. So you can enjoy your spaghetti and not have it made out of wheat. And the trick is, actually, you can make pastry the easy way out of this. You can make it another way, actually. But this is the cheap and easy made way. Get a blender and stick your hard shoots of spaghetti in there. Mix it all up to a powder. And then knead into the dough one or two chucky eggs. There's a favourite phrase. And you make your big ball of dough, and that is gluten-free, and apparently it comes out very well on a pie. So for all fellow sufferers, can I recommend that? It is actually better for you, and the taste isn't half bad. It will never be the same taste as good old flour. White bread, soft white bread, it's a thing of the past. You can get something near to it, but you will pay, instead of £3 a loaf, dare I say, £10 a loaf to get the proper stuff. That's a lot of premium to pay to have it without gluten. So, yeah, but... if you get the stuff that's from a supermercado that is not so much dearer than ordinary bread, it is still dearer. Yeah. It's not the same because they put potato starch in it, which makes the bread powdery. They put all sorts of mixtures in there, and it's not the same. And as a final tip, Lee, if you are on any sort of diet, it's dead simple to see what's good for you and what's bad. If you've got a big list on the outside of the packet of 300 E20, E400 and C's, this is manufactured out of heating up of whatever, don't touch it with a barge pole. The least ingredients it's got, the better. And there's no better way than cooking it yourself.
Absolutely, I say as I'm going out for a big breakfast now. So, No, but talking about diets is a really important point. I remember the glorious, the incredible, the fabulous Andrea saying to me not that long ago, she said to me, the archetypal phrase that women use, does my bum look big in this? And I said, no, don't. You're in a really small room.
Yeah, we've got to go out and touch a few. We failed, but we should leave it there. And, well, it's nice to see your compatriot there with his tray. Next time, I hope to see him again with something a bit more edifying than a big empty space on the tray.
A kebab.
Oh, for goodness
sake. I'll tell you what, I'm going to get a cheese and onion pie.
Well, that's all right. No, I like cheese. I did like cheese and onion pies. And as you say, if it's a bit thick, succulence is the key with cheese and onion pie. If it's dry, throw it away. It's a brick. Get the wet stuff. We're going. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.